We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's December 21st. It is 2023. We have a 7-game NBA slate on FanDuel, a 6-game NBA slate on DraftKings. Be interesting to see if they end up deleting these slates and adding slates in the morning that include the two late games. So thought it was very interesting when it came to how they kind of set up these slates. Joined today by my buddy Timothy Buell, Tasteful Tides in the DFS streets. Tim, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, not much, Stevie. Yeah, we're seeing some, I think we're seeing something that they're going to start trying on the bigger sites to get more casual players to be able to play. And I think they're going to experiment with making the main slate without the later games. So I think we're going to start seeing that a little bit more. That's just my theory anyway.
I'm okay when it's like a 12 game slate and it knocks it down to like 8 or 9, but like when it's an 8 game slate, I don't know if I love it. But I completely understand like why they're doing it. Like, I mean, all these games that we're going to talk about on DraftKings start at 7 and 8 o'clock, and then on FanDuel they added the 9 o'clock game. So it's like a 2-hour window on FanDuel and a 1-hour window on DraftKings. So I get it. I just, when the slate's like 8, it's like, eh. So anyway, we'll see. I hope, I don't know how I feel about it. I like the smaller slates. So like, I have mixed feelings about it. I just wish we'd know if they're going to do it all the time. Right. So let's get into breaking the slate down. We don't have a ton of totals out. We got a lot of back-to-backs on the slate. One thing that I noticed, so those are always the worst slates for night before podcast, but hey, we're gonna do it. We got Utah at Detroit, 238.5 total here. Utah is a 2-point favorite in this game. Utah is going to be on the second end of a back-to-back. I'm assuming that Clarkson continues to sit. I assume that Keontae George will end up sitting as well. And then on the Detroit side, Duren and Morris out. Let's start with Utah. What are your thoughts here when it comes to the Jazz?
Yeah, so the Jazz, like you said, are on the second night of back-to-backs. Markkanen played, I think, 36 minutes. Sexton played 32 minutes. Fontecchio played a ton of minutes also. I can't believe, like, Detroit is actually like, you know, only a 2-point dog, right? So they actually have a chance to like win this game. I think this game is amazing for fantasy production. I'm hoping we get some news so it becomes a little bit easier to play guys like Lauri Markkanen. I'd love to play him at 8,700. He should be able to smash this matchup. Sexton's price is getting really out of hand at 7,700, but I still think in this particular matchup, you can play him. Same thing with like Fontecchio. He's 6K, but I still think in this matchup, you can play him. So, you know, this is a really good spot for fantasy points. I'm excited to play a game stack of this game.
Yeah, I mean, Collins came back, and now, like, it's back-to-back games where he's played low minutes. Does he play the second end of a back-to-back is a question mark here for Utah. Like you mentioned, Fontecchio, he played 36 minutes on Wednesday night and did nothing. So it's a tough team. Sexton's price is a little much for me, unless now, like, we start getting more and more people ruled out for Utah. Then I think he's potentially playable. I mean, Markkanen's been someone that has been banged up here recently. You know, does he end up playing the back-to-back? You know, they haven't had a back-to-back since he returned on the 13th of December. So maybe they sit him on the second end of a back-to-back. We'll have to kind of see what the injury news looks like. But I do agree with you as far as, like, this game as a whole is really juicy. You know, Detroit. Yeah,
this is a super juicy game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Detroit's 7th in pace, Utah's 14th in pace, and then we know, like, Detroit and Utah, both terrible defensive teams. Utah on the second end of a back-to-back, so they'll probably play a lot faster here. A lot of loosey-goosey kind of fun stuff here, but yeah, I think...
I didn't even mention probably the best play on the Jazz, that's THT, Dalen Horton-Tucker.
Yeah, I'm really extending his minutes, so... It's not, it's
what's that?
They finally extended his minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, he played 30 minutes. He played 30 minutes on Tuesday night. So, he went 19 points and 11 assists. So, he got his double-double at 7K in this matchup. I think he could exceed that value pretty easily.
I like THT. And then on the Detroit side, I like Cunningham. I know he's expensive at 8,600. He seems to be the only, like, ceiling guy on this team right now. Everything else just is so spread out usage-wise, assist-wise, everything. I mean, Bogdanović, he's going to play minutes, but his ceiling has just kind of been capped. I really think that, like, if you're paying up for somebody on Detroit, it's Cunningham.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's definitely Cunningham has the, like, highest ceiling potential. I want to see, you know, like, who's starting for, like, at guard and, like, the whole, like, Hayes Stewart situation. I think Stewart's probable, but, like, the Hayes Ivy, I think Hayes and Ivy are somewhat interesting. If we get one of those guys out, like a guy like Saucer would be a good play at 4,500. In this particular matchup, I don't mind getting to Bogdanović at 6,700. Like we talked about, this game is just extremely juicy from a DFS standpoint. And I love Asar Thompson just every slate I have interest in him. So I think Thompson and Cunningham is obviously my favorite, followed by Thompson and then Bogdanović.
All right, New Orleans at Cleveland. Second end of a back-to-back for Cleveland. We'll be waiting on some injury news here. We got the morning shoot-around illness miss for Mitchell, and he ended up sitting. And there's a lot of question marks in this game, so I don't expect a total anytime soon. On the New Orleans side, Herb Jones is questionable. Nance and Ryan remain out. But Valanciunas and Zion are both questionable in this game.
Ooh.
So big news that we'll be watching. This the slates have been priced so tightly this week. We've been talking about it a lot on the podcast. This is one of those, like, games where we might get a ton of value, depending on, like, who's in, who's out. Because, like, if we're talking Valanciunas and Zion missing, like, Trey Murphy becomes a guy that I really like. If Herb Jones misses as well, Najee Marshall at 4,100, if all those guys sit, becomes, like, the top, like, player point per dollar on the slate for me. I mean, it opens up everything on the slate if we start getting all these guys ruled out.
Yeah, I mean, there could end up being, like, some huge, huge value pieces on this Pelicans team. And it's not even a good matchup, but it doesn't really matter because their prices are going to be so low. So, yeah, like, you know, Joe Val seems a little bit like it's like a real question mark. Herb Jones, like you said, So, yeah, like Najee really sticks out. Power forward only. But, like, who else is going to be there? Who's going to play the five? You know, like, if Zeller sits, if Jovall sits, is it going to be Marshall?
I would assume that it – I mean, if Herb Jones plays, I think he'd play the five. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, maybe. I mean, it could be Marshall. I mean, they do have Robinson Earl, but I don't even know the last time, like, he played meaningful minutes in the NBA earlier this year, November. Like, so I think it just kind of depends, like, who's in, who's out. I mean, they have a little bit of size still on the bench depth-wise. But I would assume it'd be Herb.
Yeah, Herb at the five. So, I mean, I would imagine that would help Jared Allen quite a bit, too, on the other side of this game, right? Like, he should be able to handle Herb pretty easily, I would imagine. But, yeah, this game is kind of hard to break down the night before just because there's so many question marks. But definitely look out for value. Definitely look out for a guy like Najee Marshall at 4,100 because he would be in an absolute smash spot.
And on the Cleveland side, I made fun of Sam Merrill yesterday. Listen, that was before Mitchell got ruled out. I just want to throw that out there. It was before Mitchell got ruled out. If Mitchell doesn't play again, I think we could go back to the well on LeVert, Merrill, Allen, Craig Porter. I don't love Max Strus. Like, I think he's okay. It depends on, like, his ownership.
I took out Sam Merrill for Max Strus, Stevie.
Okay.
That did not end well for me. That ended my night pretty early. But that was my, like, last, like, 2v2 swap. I put Strus in and took out Merrill. So that was a disaster. That was a disaster of a Tuesday night for me on the NBA streets. It all really depends on, like, if Mitchell's playing. Obviously, you can easily go back to Craig Porter Jr. if Mitchell is still out. He would be a smash play at 4,700. LeVert, I would go back to LeVert. I would even go back to Allen at 7,500. And then Merrill. I'd probably chase the Merrill game again, or, you know, for the first time. I wish it was again. I had him and then I took him out the last second.
You gotta love when you make those decisions. Sometimes you make those last minute decisions and they're perfect. Sometimes you make them, you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Pacers at Memphis, 247.5 total here. Grizzlies a 4.5 point favorite. Let's go Pacers first. They're on the second end of a back-to-back, but I mean, they blew out Charlotte on Wednesday night, so, like, I don't think anybody on the team played over 30 minutes in that game, so I mean, they should all be somewhat fresh. Like, Haliburton was cruising. Buddy Hield had a huge night on Wednesday. What do you like here for the Pacers?
Yeah, I mean, great game total. Haliburton under 11,000, I think, feels a little bit too cheap. Pretty decent matchup too. You know, it's you always want to get exposure in Pacer games because they play at such a fast pace and they don't play defense, right? So, you know, Haliburton at 10-8, I have no issue with. Miles Turner at 78, I've got no issue with. Bruce Brown at 61, I'd say he's decent. Wow, look at Isaiah Jackson's price. Probably not going to do that. And look at TJ McConnell, too. Yeah, so they really price these backups pretty aggressively. So I guess it would really just be like Haliburton, Turner, maybe Bruce Brown for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have to play anybody from the Pacers in this game because of pricing. The pricing is so tough. I think some people will end up chasing a little bit on Buddy Hield's, like, good night, but I don't think I want to touch it. I don't think I really want to touch anything here from Indiana. Like, you could play Haliburton on any slate because he does have, like, that 70-plus point ceiling. But we've been talking about it a lot this week. Like, you really need these, like, over 10K guys to go bonkers because of how tight pricing has been. So Halliburton has been really solid, but like people around Halliburton have been playing good. And like that has led to a lesser upside type for him. So,
hey, and I want to, before we talk about Memphis, I just want to give a shout out to you on your jaw call on his first game back. I did not have the guts to play him, and you were like, play him, play him, play him. And I was like, nope, nope, but you were right. You crushed that one. You crushed that.
Yeah, I mean, so I was on Crunch Time on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. I was on Grinders. Yeah. I was on Grinders Live. Yeah.
I was hammering at home, and like he ended up being in, I think, some of the larger field stuff or some of the larger dollar single entry stuff, he was like 7%. And then on FanDuel, he was like 9%. So he ended up being like a little bit higher, but he was still like, we're not getting 10% owned John Moran ever again. So especially in this matchup here.
I was going to say, you're not getting him on this slate.
41.7% usage rate the other night from Ja, averaged 1.64 fantasy points per minute in his first game back. He was rebounding. He was assisting. He was active on defense. He looked like Ja Morant. And like everything I kept saying like last on Tuesday is the same thing I'll say here. He's been practicing all season with the team. They were like, oh, we're going to play him in the low 30s. That's coaches talk. If he's playing well and he looks good, he's going to play 35 minutes. So I think John Morant, we go right back to him here. Morant back, like we're going to need Desmond Bane and Triple J's price to come down with Morant back. They're both going to take a hit. And I will say Triple J, this is a fantastic matchup for him, but he would need to be like 7K in this matchup with Morant on the floor. So I like Triple J in this spot. I'll probably look at like his point prop here because it's a phenomenal spot. But in DFS, it's really tough to get Triple J at this price. I love John Morant in this spot.
Yeah, like they only priced him like $200 more than his first game back. He's in a way better matchup. Ownership is going to be sky high on him. That's the only argument against him, but still, I'm going to play him anyway. He should absolutely crush this matchup. I don't have a ton of interest in any other Memphis guys, even though I think this is a decent matchup for JJJ, but I'm just going to focus on Morant.
Yeah, and like honestly, like I said, I think if you're in a state with like betting, looking at Triple J's like point prop, if it comes in at like 20, 21 in that range, that's what I would jump on here. I looked on Prize Picks and his Prize Picks projection is not up yet. Because I'm curious what we'd be looking at for him in this spot with Ja. Like, are we going to get a discount on him with Ja back on the books? So I kind of want to see what we're looking at because this is a phenomenal spot. Indiana is terrible against bigs. This is a great spot. And like, Ja being on the court's going to open up some stuff for Triple J as well. Like, we saw him go to the free throw line 15 times the other night in that game.
Yeah, I mean, he should easily exceed like 22 real life points in this matchup.
You would hope so.
I would assume.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Clippers and Thunder, no total in this game. Clippers, second end of a back-to-back. Paul George missed Wednesday's game with an illness. We'll see if he – I wouldn't be shocked if he comes back and they sit like Kawhi, but like that kind of scenario, or like James Harden here, to kind of limit the amount of back-to-backs. And like Kawhi's played back-to-backs this year. I think he's played like three or four already. But I mean, we are – we're seeing this Clippers team kind of roll right now. Let's talk about the Clippers just in general. James Harden, Kawhi, their prices, it's climbing enough. Like Harden was 8,500 against the Pacers like two games ago. What are your thoughts here on the Clippers?
Yeah, so there's an illness going through the Clippers locker room right now. So what transpires between now and when this game starts, I can't really speculate, but there is an illness going around, and that's why George is out. And you know, these prices, this is a pretty good spot for the Clippers. The Thunder play at the sixth fastest pace in all of basketball, so this is a really nice pace up spot for the Clippers. But like you said, I mean, I feel like I need one of the big three to sit out. Okay, like 8,800 for George, 9,200 for Kawhi, 9,300 for Harden. And if they all three of them play, I don't know. You know, yeah, if I'm making 20 teams, I'd have like, you know, one in several lineups, but I can't just pick one. They're priced pretty high, so I would like to see one of them sit. And if one of them does sit, I would prefer Kawhi the most if George sat or Harden sat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the Harden train, and I'm going to keep riding this train. I think he has triple-double upside, but Kawhi has double-double upside and like can add a lot of steals and blocks and stuff. So if one of them sit, you can make a group of 0-1 with the other two. If you want to play one of them, I completely understand it. Like, their pricing is just caught up. That's all I'm going to say, is the pricing just overall has caught up here. Zubac has been playing really well. I don't necessarily love the 7K price tag for him. I hate the price increase. Like, Zubac's a really solid, like, $6,500 player. At $6,500, like, you need, at 7K, like, that extra $500, you need him to score, like, that extra 5 to 10 points. And like, Zubac is a guy that can get you 35-40. He's not a guy that's typically going to get 50. I know he did it against the Pacers the other night, but he had like 16 rebounds or something like that in that game. So I just think overall the Clippers are priced appropriately if everybody plays. Watch the news here. Yeah, watch the news. Yeah.
And if you do get some news in this game, don't forget about Amir Coffey. He plays big minutes. Like, there's 6 minutes left in that game right now, and he's played 33 minutes in that game. So he's playing huge minutes, and he's only 4,600. So he could be like a really, really good salary saving option.
Yeah, I mean, like, if any of the big three are out, Coffee probably starts. If Zubac sits on the second end of back-to-back, Tice would probably start. So, like, just watch the news here on the Clippers. On the Thunder side, I mean, SGA just keeps...
Yeah.
This guy's just smashing. I don't know, like, I think really on SGA, it depends on, like, what type of value we get throughout the slate, throughout the day. But I think he's definitely... I don't love Giannis against Orlando. If Giannis plays, he's questionable. We'll talk about that. I think that's one of the next games we have coming up. So I think, like, it's between Halliburton, SGA, Ja Morant, and Wimby, like, probably playing two of those guys. So I think SGA is very, very much in play here.
100%. I do prefer Morant over him, but if I can get to both of them comfortably, SGA would definitely be number two. He just keeps paying off his price tag. He's so consistent. The only thing that kind of worries me is, who do you think guards SGA? Do you think he gets Kawhi? Do you think Kawhi guards him?
That's tough to say. I mean, they I don't think they put Harden on him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be Harden, because he would destroy Harden. George might be sick, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they put George on him. I'm a little worried that they're going to put Kawhi on him, which would be a very tough matchup for him, I think. He could still beat it, but it would be tough, I think.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that Terrence Mann could probably guard him as well.
Yeah.
So, it's tough to say. Like, it's so hard to kind of predict. Like, the thing with, like, NBA that has changed so much in the last 5 years is, like, there's so many more, like, pick and rolls and, like, screen set that right. It's not, like, one individual. Like, I'm going to lock you down. I mean, right. I'm gonna get a pick, and you're not going to be guarding me in a second. So, like, I don't look at like individual people locking people down as much, but I think that it's definitely something to note, right? Like it's something to think about, and it's something to note. I saw how fast this Boston and Sacramento game was playing, and I quickly took like the in-game over. So I hope it continues to play this fast. It's fantastic. Anything else you want to add here from the Thunder?
I don't really think I'm seeing anything that appealing. I mean, I love Chet. He's kind of at a funny price point. I don't think I'm going to get to him, but I love him as a player. He would be a good GPP play, but I'm not really seeing anything like value wise that I'm that excited for.
And just like really quick, I don't want to like overlook the fact that like Kawhi is still a top 15 defender in the NBA. Even through aging and like the injuries and like everything, he's still like a top 15 defender in like the NBA. You know who's been playing insane defense? I was looking at it earlier. Anthony Edwards is just, he's on another level defensively right now. Anyway, just something that I noticed. San Antonio at Chicago, 230.5 here. Chicago, 3-point favorite. They are on a back-to-back. We don't expect LaVine to play in this one. It sounds like he's still like 3 weeks out. So I think everybody else plays. San Antonio side, Bassey's out, and then Keldon Johnson's probable. San Antonio, I think this is a phenomenal spot for Wimby. Got a game off, is rested, ready to go. 63, like he scored 63 fantasy points the first time these two teams met. Like he's on another level right now. And like I didn't realize it, like how much of the level has just increased for Wimby until you like saw him get ruled out and then like you were looking into like Zach Collins stats and stuff. But sometimes it takes a guy to be out to be like, wow, this guy is, he's playing insane right now. And that, I mean, that's just where Wimby is right now. So I think even at 9K, Chicago on the second end of a back-to-back, maybe this game plays a little bit faster with them on the second end of a back-to-back. I think Wimby is another like top end play that I want to have some exposure to here.
I mean, Wimby should be a 10K player.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we're still getting that rookie discount with him, which is he deserves to be five figures, right? So Wemby at 9K still has power forward center eligibility. Like, I think that's a real value at 9K. I have no issue firing him up. But it's like we have Moran at 95, SGA at 10-2, right? You know, we've got that, you know, Utah game. We've got Cade Cunningham, you know, like, so we've got all these guys like right around the same price point. The Clippers, you know, situation. So like all these guys are right around like that same price point. So it really depends on ownership, right?
Well, so really quick, like just a general overview of the slate on DraftKings. We have six teams on back-to-backs. On FanDuel, there's eight. With six teams on a back-to-back on a six-game slate, I think we're going to have enough value throughout the day where we'll be able to play like two guys over 9K on DK. Like,
right.
So I love the ownership thoughts, right? I love the ownership thoughts. My first lean right now, like on the first team that, like every time I do the podcast, I like kind of build like a shell lineup. Right now, it's Wimby and Morant. I think those are the two guys I'm going to focus on over 9K. And like Wimby has the same ceiling as Halliburton and SGA, in my opinion. And they're both over 10K. So like Moran at 95 and Wimby, like, I might be able to get another stud with those two guys because they're not over 10K yet. So I just think ownership matters for sure, but there's always that guy. Like, everybody for Boston tonight jumped on what's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Hauser and, like, Brissett.
Sam Hauser.
And yeah. Pritchard was, like, I think in on DraftKings in the contest I was in, he was, like, 4% owned. And he's right. got 12 points already. So there's always, like, even with news, there's always ways to get different. And, like, Cord IQ just tells you, like, who benefits. And I talked about on the podcast yesterday with Tatum off the court, Pritchard gets more shots. Just look into that. Cord IQ is free. It's literally free. Just go in.
Is it really?
I'm almost 95. I'm 95% sure that Cord IQ is free. I could be wrong now, but yeah, I mean, just go in and take guys off the court. Like, look into the stats. And I mean, especially with NBA, I mean, you have to look into that kind of stuff. All right. Chicago side of this game. I don't know. Did Kobe White do anything? God, they beat the Lakers. That's awesome. DeRozan had a good game. I knew that. Kobe White did not. What are your thoughts here on the Bulls?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, well, Kobe White was okay. 17-7-5.
Not for 8K, though.
Not for 8K. Yeah, I mean, you want to get exposure against San Antonio. But where with these prices? I think it's Kobe White. To be honest with you, like, I'm not paying $6,500 for Williams or $6,100 for Caruso, right? Like, we're assuming LaVine is out. Vucevic, I guess, $8,100 would be a good play, but I think it's White for me at 83. Go right back to Kobe White.
I think you can make a group of DeRozan and White at 0-1. And, like, just let it kind of filter those two guys in the lineups. Because, especially if you're building, like, 150, San Antonio matchup is phenomenal. I don't necessarily hate or love this spot for Vooch. He had 47 fantasy points the first time these two teams met. Like, I could see him having, like, a solid game. Vooch is not typically the guy that's going to get you 60. So, no. I mean,
I'm just speculating. But, like, I feel like DeRozan's going to sit.
I don't know. I mean, the Bulls just play these guys into the ground. I mean, these guys just play so many minutes. Like, Williams, Caruso, White, Vooch, and DeRozan just play until they can't anymore. I mean, like, in the blowout against the Lakers tonight, DeRozan had 36 minutes because that's what the Bulls do. So
right.
And I just checked. Cord IQ is free. I signed out of my account. If you're not taking advantage of Cord IQ,
use Cord IQ every slate.
It's awesome.
I can't believe it's free.
So here, we'll quickly. Derek in chat says, who benefits if DRR sit or DDR sits? So quickly, taking DeRozan and Zach LaVine off the floor on Cord IQ. And.
Yeah, I mean, guys, like, I do this several times a day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, everyone, you should. I had no idea it was free. That's awesome.
There you go. I mean, so looking at it here on Cord IQ, if these two guys are off the floor, the biggest bump is Caruso and Kobe White and Vooch. I mean, they're all 5%+ owners or usage bumps. So, those are going to be the guys that get the biggest bumps, you know, obviously. Looking at it, Kobe White, 1.05 fantasy points per minute, 1.25 fantasy points per minute for Vooch. Drummond's such a monster, like, fantasy point per minute guy. It's just wild. If DeRozan end up sitting, I think that would just you play a lot more Kobe White, and I think you definitely would have more Caruso if that were to happen. All right, we got Orlando at Milwaukee to finish out the DraftKings slate. It's a 238.5 total here. Milwaukee, 8.5-point favorite. Orlando, second end of a back-to-back. Fultz has been ruled out for this game already. So we know that. I saw a report about that. I'd be interesting to see what they do with Wendell Carter Jr. here, if he plays or not. And then on the Milwaukee side, I mean, probably the biggest news on the slate is Giannis is questionable. He's dealing with like a foot sprain. So, I mean, that sounds like he's like a legit question mark here with a foot sprain. So let's start with Orlando. What do we like here for the Magic?
Honestly, not that much.
Nada. Just say it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, really nothing. How many minutes did Carter play tonight?
23. I was so 23. Spot on the podcast yesterday. I said 25 max, somewhere in between like 20 and 25. 23 is right in between 20 and 25. What's up? Know my Magic.
Yeah. So maybe. And Anthony's minutes have been down too, it seems like.
Well, Suggs is healthy. I mean, they have a lot of bodies. They rotate a lot of people.
Yeah. So really nobody. I'm not going to pay that much for Banchero or Wagner. So really nobody.
If everybody plays, I'm with you. If we start getting like some people rolled out, sure. It's a great spot. It's a pace up spot for Orlando, Milwaukee. We talked about how bad they've been defensively a lot this season. So like if some people start getting ruled out, it becomes a lot more interesting. On the Milwaukee side, if no Giannis, Dame becomes one of the top players on the slate. Middleton obviously gets a bump, but it's Lillard. Lillard would have a huge bump here if no Giannis.
Do you rate – so assuming no Giannis, do you rate Lillard higher than Morant and Wemby?
It would be really interesting to try to build a team with all three of them.
Yeah.
I might punt a position and just say I need somebody to get me 15 or 20 at like $3,000 to $3,500 to make it work. Cause like you get $4,400 per salary in that situation if you played all three of those guys on DraftKings. And like,
yeah,
now I just need one punt. Like, I would literally just try to find a punt that I think is going to play. And like, it'd probably come from that New Orleans Cleveland game.
Like we
talked about, like if Valanciunas and Zion sit. So I think it really kind of depends on like news. But Lillard's usage, and his usage is 36%. He averages 1.56. So like, I think I'd have to put Lillard above one of those two guys. I just don't know who I would do. Honestly, I try to build a lineup with all three and see if I like it.
It's just Orlando's defense is so good. That just makes me a little bit nervous. I still
back to back for Orlando though, and this game's in Milwaukee. So
true, yeah. Just makes me nervous. I feel like I like Morant and Wemby more, but I'm not really sure on that.
But the ownership conversation's fun too, because like if Lillard's going to be chalky because Giannis sits, then I would like Morant and Wemby more. Then so like that conversation happens,
right?
But I want to see what the value opens up throughout the day, because I think looking at it right now and like knowing how the slate kind of shapes up, I think there's a potential to play all three of them together. That'd be a fun team. Anything else you want to add on the Milwaukee side here?
I don't really have that much interest in any. I'm trying to think if Giannis is out. I guess, you know, Middleton's fine, Lopez is fine, but none of these guys are really standout plays for me.
Beasley's 5,300 in that scenario. The one that really kind of stands out to me is like Jackson Jr. Does he get 25 plus minutes if Giannis sits at 4K?
Or even Bobby Portis at 55, he'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, Portis is a high upside guy, so I never hate playing Bobby. I played him the other night against the Spurs in my run back.
Yeah, so did I.
My gosh, I had a team that should have won a FanDuel tournament last night, and Podsy got hurt at like low ownership and was crushing. I was like, oh, are you kidding me? So anyway, happens to the best of us. All right, FanDuel added the Lakers and Minnesota game, so we'll talk about this game really quick. There's no total out for this game. Both teams on a back-to-back. Edwards just came back. LeBron and Anthony Davis have been questionable every single slate, so this game on FanDuel could potentially open up a lot of value. because if like AD or LeBron or both of them sit, like Reeves, Russell, Christian Wood, Hachimura, like the Lakers would be a great value team on FanDuel if LeBron or Anthony Davis or both of them sit here. If they both play, I probably don't have a ton of interest in the Lakers here.
Yeah, if they both play, there's no chance I would pay this much for, you know, either one of them. But definitely if one sits, the other one is firmly in play. Yeah, but I mean, if everyone's healthy, this is not a good spot for the Lakers, really, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And then like on the Minnesota side on FanDuel, Cat is 8,800, Gobert is 8,100. Edwards is 9,600. Like, there's just not a ton of value with everyone healthy. So I think if everybody plays for Minnesota, I don't have a ton of interest either. Like, yeah. FanDuel should have just did with DraftKings and left this game off.
This is a very poor late night hammer, in my opinion. I mean, it's good real life game, but not good for fantasy. Yeah, I think Mitch Robb is out for the year.
Yeah, I just saw that alert come across.
Gosh,
I hate to see it. All right, let's play the morning grind game. We're going to use DraftKings 6-game slate because that's what I have up in front of me. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got?
I'm going to assume that some news goes in my favor, and I'm going to say Amir Coffey.
Yeah, don't hate it. I think Mitchell ends up sitting again, so give me Sam Merle here at 4,500 after I made fun of him yesterday. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Ooh, that's actually kind of a tough one. All right, the easy one is Desmond Bane.
Yep, I don't hate that. This one's tough. If Giannis plays, it's probably Giannis for me. Giannis doesn't play, I think it's Banchero. As much as I like Paolo, Magic are too spread out right now. Favorite 6X play?
I'm going to go Ja.
Yeah, I'm going all the way to the top two. Give me Wimby here at 9K against Chicago. Yeah. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day.
I'm gonna go with. Wonder how weird this is gonna. I'm gonna go with Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I think that's weird. The more I think about this, the more I really think this is gonna be a low owned spot for Cade Cunningham. So I think Cade is really interesting. Depending on how the news
goes. I should have gone Bobby Portis, but I'll go Lopez.
Not a ton of bets out or props out right now because we have so many back-to-backs, but I will say I really don't mind Utah -2 against Detroit. I know they're on a back-to-back, but Detroit has been awful. So I don't hate Utah -2 here going up against Detroit.
I like that quite a bit. I like that.
Oh, I got it. I got Utah -1.5 on Hard Rock. I'm going to take that right now. Got him. We're going to take that. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, Tim?
Nope. Thank you very much, Stevie.
Thanks for hanging out. If you're on YouTube, you can hang out for 15 minutes. We're going to talk NFL Week 16 Morning Grind Podcast. We'll be live in 15 minutes on YouTube. Everybody listening for NBA, thanks for hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow talking more hoops. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.